Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
I feel bad because I feel like I just threw a lot at you right before we came on the air.
Yeah,
said,
I asked you if you needed anything. You good? And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I'm good.
By the way, I need all this stuff. It's like, wait a minute. No. So, anywho, we're off and starting today. So, TD's article finally came out. The one about Vrabel and Carthon and how well they work together and the collaboration and the commission and blah, blah, blah. And that came out at ESPN.com. It's very well written. You can read it today. But I want to start on this because right now I think we've got kind of two, you know, convergent issues here that are starting, two different things that are kind of converging that are kind of leading me to one basic thesis when it comes to the Titans. Now, I don't want to accuse anybody of anything, so let me just say that I'm hypothesizing here, right? Like, I'm starting to maybe notice. I'm starting to wonder if Titans ownership's getting too involved here. You know, I'm starting to wonder if the day-to-day football stuff, if ownership is getting too involved. And there's a specific line in TD's article, combined with the fact that the Titans fired Craig Aukerman. And you guys know, if anybody knows, that Craig Aukerman could do no wrong and that nothing was ever Craig Aukerman's fault, it was me. Because I'm the one person that went up to Vrabel and said, why aren't you firing this guy? I mean, it was me. It was me that went to Vrabel and said, why don't you fire, are you going to fire an assistant coach? No. Why not? Well, when I played, I never got mad at Dean Pease or Rob Ryan. It's like, okay, but these players aren't as good as you. So maybe, you know, coaching is an issue. And then all of a sudden, Vrabel does a 180 and fires a guy. And I know that game was so bad that that is the game that should have gotten Craig Aukerman fired. But the how we get there is equally as important. So here's the line in the TD article that really popped my head up this morning. This is ESPN.com. Quote, the collaborative effort that Titans controlling owner Amy Adams Strunk wanted when she hired Carthon hasn't produced the desired results yet. Both Vrabel and Carthon have taken steps to make it work. They are in constant communication with Adams Strunk down to the most minute details, like who's traveling to away games and who isn't. So they are in constant communication with the owner as to, yeah, you know, I think we're going to travel Kyle Phillips this week to Miami, but we're probably not going to play him. What do you think of that? Uh-oh. And again, while I'm glad Craig Aukerman, you know, that finally there was some accountability with Craig Aukerman, it's a little too late for all of that, but while I'm glad at least there's something there, it kind of feels like, as we talked yesterday, that was more of an ownership decision than it was a Vrabel decision, just because the standard assumption is that Vrabel thinks that guy can do no wrong. And not only does Vrabel think that that guy can do no wrong, Vrabel also never fires an assistant coach in the middle of the year. I think he thinks it's too disruptive. Well, I'm just going to say this, and again, I like ownership that cares, and I do know that Amy Adams Strunk cares. I also will say that when I knew that Floyd was going to die, like, I reached out to the Titans, and I was like, hey, I need to talk to Amy about something, because if they're ever going to put him in their Hall of Fame, like, you're going to need to do it now. And there was not even a question with Amy. Once she heard that Floyd was sick, it was like, okay, we're going to do this. Now let's figure out how to do this. And so that's always been important to me. And that's always been something that I think is kind of like a showing true colors. So I have a lot of respect for Amy. And look, the Titans don't pay me any money. If anything, you know, my dad's been a season ticket holder since the first day. I went to the game this week. I had to buy ices and concession or pro shop, you know, whatever. Like, so if anything, I'm paying them. But More importantly, like, I have a lot of respect for the person that Amy Adams Strunk is. And it's not just Amy that owns this team, right? Kenneth owns the team. Barclay owns the team. It's not just her. So this could be more of an ownership as a whole thing than it is just her. But when I see TD's writing that they talk to Amy about everything, I'm like, I'm not sure I really like that, right? Like, and I'll give you an example. When I look at kind of where the Titans are, I think to myself, I always say on this show, because I feel like it kind of provides some layer of skin in the game or accountability, or I say, if I owned the team, if I owned the team, this is what I would do. If I owned the team, I remember last year when Paul Kaharsky reported that Tannehill was out for the year with the ankle injury, and I said, hey, if I owned this team, like, we're running it back with Tannehill and Henry, and we're going to try to compete. Like, that's what we're going to do if I own the team. Now, I don't think I'd be the best owner in the NFL, but I also think I understand the role of owner. And I think that would make me a good owner, which is, you wouldn't see me sitting there telling a general manager who to draft, even though clearly I love sports, I follow this stuff. But we are going to ultimately do what I want to do, big picture. Little picture, that's you. Coaching staff, who travels to away games, who's active on Sunday, who is the quarterback, then we're going to talk to me about that. But for the most part, my goal as an owner would be to, whatever it is you want to do, you keep doing it, and then I'm going to come down here if I don't think you're doing a very good job, and you're going to not be doing it anymore. And then I'll go find the next guy who I will give the exact same amount of authority to. Because I know what I don't know about the NFL. I know what I don't know about football. Just like I know a lot of people that listen to the radio don't know exactly anything about the radio. I understand that. That's why people get hired to do jobs. I have a rental property, right? I have somebody that runs it. You want to know why? Because I don't, vinyl siding and water heaters, and I don't know any of that. But when it comes to, like, hey, you know, this is how much rent's going to be. Okay, yeah, well, I'm involved in that. That's the role of an owner. So when I'm looking at the Titans and how it feels like ownership, you know, Charles Robinson had the report that ownership was involved on the Will Levis pick, and that kind of pushed the coaching staff in that direction. It's like, you're not really qualified to do that. And they can do whatever they want. They own the team. But if you want to win, I mean, I hate to tell you this, but you guys are not qualified to run an NFL organization. Just like I'm not qualified to run an NFL organization. Definitely qualified to own the organization. Definitely probably understand for the most part what the role of an owner is. All of that. Great. But as far as running the football operations of the Tennessee Titans, they are not more qualified to do this than I am. And I am not qualified to run the football operations of the Tennessee Titans. And see, here's the difference between me and a lot of people that drive me crazy. And this is the idea that, yes, I had been calling for a change with Craig Aukerman for forever, and they did it yesterday. So a lot of people are probably thinking you should be happy in reference to me. But I'm not worried about the outcome of what it is that I wanted as much as I am always consistently worried about the process with which it takes to get there. If the process is Mike Vrabel thinks Craig Aukerman is the greatest special teams coach in the history of the NFL, and it takes ownership coming down there to say, hey, that's enough, Mike. That is a problem on both ends, right? It's a problem that the owner is going down to the head coach during the season and saying, enough's enough, get rid of him. And it's a problem that Vrabel can't see it himself. So when I see that cut there in the TD column about how they're in constant communication with Amy Adams Strunk down to the most minute details, that makes me a little nervous. It makes me nervous for where this all is headed. I don't know this for a fact, but I assume that John Robinson didn't have to go to Amy Adams Strunk about everything, right? Like when they claimed Deontay Foreman, I don't think she had to go up there and say, hey guys, and then walk in all of their offices, right? Barclays and Kenneth's. And I mean, I don't think she had to go, he had to go up there and say, hey guys, I'm going to sign Deontay Foreman off the street, and he's going to be in the mix of the group of guys that we're going to have to try and replace Derek. Is that okay? Or do you think that we should sign somebody else? Now we got a problem. Now, I don't mind, again, the owner coming down to practice or whatever and saying, hey, what are we, you know, what are we thinking about the receivers this week? Oh, yeah, we feel good about them. We think that's a good matchup. We're worried about. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with the owner being around. The two things I have a problem with when it comes to the owner, I have a problem with the owner because, well, I have a problem with the owner who meddles too much on a day-to-day basis. And I have a problem with the owner that plays favorites with players. I don't think that you can be successful doing that. And I don't think Amy's doing that. Like, I don't think Amy's inviting Derrick Henry over for dinner. I could be wrong, but I don't think she's doing that. And I don't believe in that. I don't believe in an owner playing favorites with players, because if you do that, then it's like, well, that's one of the favorites, and that's why, and you don't want that. But when it comes to, again, the day-to-day football operations, I mean, if they're telling her who's going to away games and who's not, and again, it feels like the firing of Craig Aukerman was ownership-driven, you're going to be in trouble. Like, this, again, they're not qualified to run an NFL team. So don't try to run an NFL team. I am not qualified to run an NFL team. So I'm not going to try to run an NFL team. And that's what worries me right here, is that now the ownership has kind of sunk their hands into the football operations. And I just don't think he can win that way. Jerry Jones has sunk his hands. I'll give Jerry credit, because at least Jerry is the one owner in the league that's like, nah, I'm running it. Like, I want to run it. It's my team. I'm running it. But at least Jerry's got his hand in the air as to, we're doing this my way. It's not, you know, Tepper who is, oh, no, you guys run the team. And then 5 minutes into him not liking how you run the team, it's like, no, I'm blowing it all up. Like, at least you got Jerry is admitting to it. But there's a reason why the Cowboys don't win. Like, there's a reason why last year when the Cowboys went to Tampa and beat that corpse of a football team with Tom Brady at quarterback, the only good player on that team at that point, that it was the first road playoff win for the Cowboys in like 25 years, okay? So, again, I'm not saying ownership is meddling, because I don't know. And I'm not trying to be one of these college football playoff people that's like, well, we know Florida State would have gotten blown out. You don't know that. You think that, you don't know that. So I don't know that ownership is involved on a daily basis. But I'm starting to think they are, and it's making me nervous, because I don't think you can win that way. And it's nothing personal with the Adams family. But it is just, again, my feelings on how the NFL operates. You can't tell Floyd Reese who to pick. You have to let Floyd Reese do the picking. And I'm worried that it may be trending the other way. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025 here on the Stillman & Company program. Now, it is amazing to me, one thing that's happened when it comes to ownership. But when it comes to the Aukerman firing, there was some pretty suggestive language in a report yesterday that it wasn't Vrabel who wanted to do it. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I'm not going to say Mike wouldn't have made a change at the end of the season, but do we think he really would have? If we are to believe that Amy, which I do believe, and again, I could be completely wrong on this. I have no inside, you know, knowledge. I have no sources that's telling me otherwise.
Yeah,
this is just my opinion. I'm not sure Mike would have fired him after the season, because Mike has, he has made, not necessarily excuses, but he has come up with a reason why every time when it came to Aukerman. And again, I'm not – listen, this is a results-based business. And you're going to get a – some guys get a longer period of time to prove they can either coach or play in this league. Some guys get a shorter period of time. Well, it seems like Aukerman has gotten a longer period of time to show what he can do. And hey, listen, somebody got to fall on the sword. And it was Aukerman that fell on the sword.
There you go. That was Derek today. I almost said yesterday. It was Derek today. And he's sitting there saying, like, I don't think Mike wanted to fire him. I felt the same way. And again, I texted Caroline. It's so funny because I told Caroline the Monday after the Eagles game last year, I'm like, in other organizations, you know, the stable, not Al Davis run organizations, like, when you lose a game like that and it's that embarrassing with Philadelphia given the circumstances, like, that's going to get a coach fired, like, in other places. But I thought the Titans were kind of the non-reactive, you know, not crazy kind of ownership. So I figured, you know, they'd be upset, but it wouldn't be, you know, fired. No, they fired the GM. So now I no longer think that about the Titans ownership. Like, I think they're definitely that's going to get somebody fired. And that's why I tweeted out that I didn't expect Aukerman to be on the staff, because I expected, just like the Eagles game, I expected that to be the kind of game that gets a coach fired. I texted Caroline Sunday night and I said, that's the kind of game that gets a coach fired. And it did get a coach fired. Now I'm going to say this about ownership, because I do find this to be incredibly compelling to me, and it may not matter at all to you, but on one end of the spectrum, we have how the last time the Titans were terrible was 2015. They were terrible. Like, I was talking to Ian about this yesterday on the pregame show. You know, we have these segments, offense, defense, inactives, whatever. It's really just turned into talk about Vrabel and Rancarthon and ownership and the future of the team, because, I mean, does the audience really want to hear on the pregame show? Do they really want to hear about the Colts defense going into this meaningless game? And I don't think that they do. So, I mean, that's what we kind of talk about. And it reminds me of when it was me, Floyd, and Derek in that 2015 year. And that was all we talked about, was the future of the franchise and who's Amy going to hire and should Mike Mularkey be the coach and who's going to be the GM and who's – well, what's crazy to me is back then the fans' issue with ownership – was that ownership was not visible, not responsive. I mean, the real complaint amongst Titans fans was that ownership didn't care. That was how Titan fans felt. They live in Houston. They don't care. They've got internal squabbling like that. And that was what people thought 8 years ago. Well, now that they're bad again, people are mad at ownership. But again, it's kind of this, you know, are they doing too much? And honestly, I do think that they might be doing too much. Are they doing too much? But it's just kind of funny to me how it's on separate ends of the spectrum. And in between, when they were good, it was, oh, we love Amy. She's the best. She's this. She's... So what I figured out is that if the team stinks, the fans are going to be mad at the owner. Like, that, I am convinced of that. That, like, if the team is bad, the fans will be mad at the owner. Either they care too much or they don't care enough. And in this case, I'm wondering if they care a little too much, if they're a little too involved, if they're a little too, you know, again, wanting to know who's traveling to away games and who's not. Not to say that Bud Adams, and thank goodness we have a team, and may he rest in peace, not to say that he was a bad owner, because I don't think he was, but, you know, he has his own reputation as an owner. But it was funny listening to Derek and Chris on the pregame show talk about that, when Bud Adams would come down to talk to the team about how they would switch, like, the nameplates in the locker room. The only players that they said he knew were Steve McNair, Eddie George, and Bruce Matthews, and they'd switch the nameplates, and he'd go up to, you know, this is the way Derek and Chris tell it, that he would go up to, you know, like, Derek and say, good game, Drew Bennett, and they'd, you know, take it, whatever it may be, like, again, different level of involvement on the day-to-day front. I will tell one quick story again before we get to your phones, which is about ownership. Floyd told me a story one time. He went down to Houston to talk to Bud Adams, and he had this, like, grand plan and idea for what they were going to do with the Oilers and what it was going to be and what it – and he said that he's sitting in Bud's office going over everything with Bud Adams, and Bud Adams just looks at him, pushes his glasses up his nose and goes, you do know whose football team this is, right? Yes, sir. And he head right out the door. So there is that to keep in mind. But again, I think a responsible football team is run by hiring somebody to run the day-to-day operations of the football club. And then once you lose faith in that person, then finding somebody else to do it, not doing what the Panthers are doing, which is having the owner dictate everything because he can't stay out of it. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Carl has been waiting patiently and is going to kick us off today on the show. Thank you for waiting. What's up, Carl?
Jared, three quick points. Going back to your call or the article with by TD. First point, as TD said, they're in constant contact with ownership. As the advent of social media, not like Floyd, current ownership, current GM, Rand Carthon, probably does have to be in contact with management and ownership, because you don't want them finding out transactions by internet, by social media. So you probably do have to be in more contact with them. Second quick point, as far as the personnel arrangements that have been made by Rand Carthon, I think Rand's done a pretty admirable job with what he's had, with what was left.
You like Andre Dillard?
Andre Dillard was a piece of crap. We all knew it, but it had to be something that was signed there for death.
No, we didn't know that when they signed Andre Dillard. No. That's revisionist history.
He had a presence in the league, and you got to give the guy an opportunity to come in. And
why do you have to give the guy an opportunity? I don't have to give a guy, if he's no good, why am I giving him an opportunity? Why are the top free agents that I'm signing? These are the guys they signed at the very beginning of free agency. Hold on, Carl. I'll let you make your point, but let me make mine. The guys they signed right away at the start of free agency were Andre Dillard, Azeez Al-Shaair, they tendered Aaron Brewer for $4.3 million, Daniel Brunskill, and a special teamer, Luke Gifford. By the way, where was Luke Gifford on Sunday on the punt blocks? You're telling me that Rand Carthon did a good job with that group?
You take a look at the acquisitions that were made 3 days before and the acquisitions that were made 3 days after. At that point, there was nothing but scabs left. I think Rand did an admirable job with what he had available at the time.
What are you talking about? What are the resources you're referring to that Rand had that he did a great job with? Are you telling me Rand didn't have any money?
The availability of quality free agents at that time was
then
low.
Why did Denver get good free agents?
Denver didn't get quality free agents. Denver got free agents that have changed their style of play, that have changed their level of play. Thanks to Russell Wilson and their new coach, Sean Payton.
I'll give you Payton, but Payton's the one that brought those guys in there, Carl. Carl, I see, here's the thing, and I know what you're doing, and I get it, and I appreciate your call. This is, again, it's okay to say. Like, I've said that, again, and I do that, if I own the team, like, I'm cleaning house at the end of the year, and I'm going out and getting an experienced general manager who has been a GM before, whose opinion I trust, who then I'm giving the football operation to, and he's hiring a coach if he wants to, he's keeping Vrabel if he wants to, and, you know, just walk me through the plan. But other than that, like, it's your team. And so that's what I'm doing. And a lot of people are saying that's not fair to Rand. And it's not fair. It is not fair to let him go after 1 year, but again, fair and the NFL are not synonymous. But the idea that Rand did a good job this offseason, you cannot stick that on me. You cannot tell me that they did a good job when I'm looking at the freaking Scarbinis that they brought in here. I mean, like, again, it's one thing to say, well, and I'll use Brunskill as an example. Well, they brought in Daniel Brunskill, but they didn't pay him a lot of money, so he's a serviceable player, and, you know, it's fine. It is another thing when it's like, yeah, you had the 32nd ranked pass defense in the NFL, and all you did was wait for Sean Murphy bunting at the value rack at Walmart. That's not good enough. The idea that you were going to go pay Andre Dillard and bring him in here, and you gave him real money, that you brought Andre Dillard in here to be your left tackle, and not that he's not, you know, a starting caliber left tackle, because Dennis Kelly was never a starting caliber left tackle, but he sucks. Like, he sucks. He's worse than Dennis Daly. He's worse than Jalen Duncan. And Jalen Duncan is coming along, but is terrible. Like, guys, you can't tell me they did a good job this offseason. They did a horrible job this offseason. A horrible job. Now, if you're saying, hey, let's see how Rand does in round two, that's different. But don't tell me they did a good job this year, because that's bull crap. They did a terrible job. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We will continue on with your phones. Plus, Ian, there was a report that came out, and I don't know if reports are, I don't know if this is opinion or if this is a report.
Okay.
But it seems like it's pointing a finger over here. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063, the game again, 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. Tune into 93.3 Classic Hits tonight for MTSU basketball. The Blue Raiders will take on Missouri State at the Murphy Center with pregame beginning at 6 o'clock and tip-off at 6:30. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com.
Had you had any major issues with the special teams unit before yesterday's troubles?
Well, I mean, there's always positive plays. There's, you know, plays that, you know, we've had, you know, listen, you can't win games with having, you know, three punt blocks, or whether that's, you know, scheme, personnel, it's on everything. And so, again, decided to make a change.
So was this something that was happening, or is this just a reaction to Sunday's game? Well, you know, remember how Greg Bedard last week just got crushed for those comments that he wrote about Rand Carthon? And then we asked him about it, and it was a bunch of, well, you know, scouts talk to around, you know, well, yes, you know, Ian, play that Vrabel cut again. Does this not kind of sound like this one? And then the TD one where TD asked him yesterday about you know, the firing Craig Aukerman. This is the first one. This was the one we just played.
Had you had any major issues with the special teams unit before yesterday's troubles?
Well, I mean, there's always positive plays. There's, you know, plays that, you know, we've had, you know, listen, you can't win games with having, you know, three punt blocks, or whether that's, you know, scheme, personnel, it's on everything. And so, again, decided to make a change.
I mean, what? I don't even know what that is.
He did not answer the question, no.
I mean, what are we talking about here? So Buck writes at A to Z Sports, and again, you know, I don't know how much everybody trusts Buck. I think Buck, you know, I think he does some talking. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I don't know. I think he does some talking. So Buck writes at A to Z Sports, quote, "It's not impossible to wonder where the Aukerman decision really came from." And then he writes, quote, "Firing Aukerman in week 13 seems reactionary." The right word, by the way, there is reactive, and I did tell Buck this last night. I was like, I think the right word is reactive. "But it seems reactive, and no one would ever accuse Vrabel of that." Now, here's what I will say about Buck. I don't know if Buck and Vrabel are cool or not. I just think that, again, my opinion is that Buck is very pro-Vrabel. I don't think Buck is very pro-Titans, but I do think that he is very pro-Vrabel. And I think he's telling you that at least either he thinks or he was told, and I don't know where this goes on, but that he thinks that Vrabel got forced into firing Aukerman. Ian, you know Buck. Do you read that as like a Buck's telling you that Vrabel got forced into firing Aukerman and didn't want to do it, or do you think Buck's just throwing it against the wall?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Are you going to do the Vrabel and give me a bunch of you knows and not answer one way or another?
I'm not really sure. I haven't read the whole, you know, the entire report, but maybe he's just kind of speculating. I'm not sure. Maybe he heard something. I don't know.
I mean, you know, I think there's a, I would say the other side of the argument, and I have no idea, again, if ownership did it or not.
I think we're all trying to figure out, you know, it does seem a little reactive based on the game.
Yeah.
And if they had won the game, would they have fired Aukerman?
Like if Will Levis throws a bomb to Hopkins in overtime, they run into the end zone. So
or they make
the
a stop. Or they make a stop.
Yeah.
Or they make a stop in overtime. They kicked the field goal, right? Took the lead. All they had to do was make one stop. Does Aukerman still get fired?
I mean, I'm just going to tell you, I don't think that that's the case. But I, again,
so,
don't know.
So, you know, it's very, it's, you know, reactive, reactionary, however you want to put it. So I think we all just kind of are all looking for a little bit more concrete situation or, you know, answers, I guess.
So I thought that, you know, as far as this is concerned, like one thing I want to make sure that I say here is, and again, I'm going to keep using the college football playoff as an example. I have so many people that tell me that Florida State would get crushed by Michigan or would get crushed by Alabama. And that might be true, but we don't know, right? Like, I didn't think that Texas was going to go into Alabama and beat the crap out of them, and they did. I didn't think Washington was going to beat Oregon for a second time, and they did. And the only reason it happened, I know it, I watched it. So I can't tell you, like, things that I don't know. And sometimes I feel like people are doing a lot of just assuming and then just, nope. That's fact. Alabama would crush Florida State. There's no way to know that. There is absolutely no way to know that. And so I approach it with this of saying, like, I don't know who told Vrabel to do what, why they did it, who. I'm just kind of putting the pieces together. You know, I'm like, I'm the feds and the Titans are the mob. And it's like, you know, hey, nobody speaks on the family. And, you know, who ordered the hit? And I'm trying to get, you know, turn people over, state's witness. And I try, you know what I mean? Like, so I guess I'm just saying, I don't know what happened, but I think what happened. I mean, I think that what happened on Sunday was that's the kind of game that gets coach fired. And the coach got fired for it. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Texture says, wild speculation on ownership directing Vrabel to fire Craig Aukerman, and it is unjustified. Vrabel probably had him on a short leash because he had his replacement in-house. Up to the last game, special teams were top third in the NFL before a huge failure, so Vrabel pulled him on a failure. Okay. So much to digest there. First of all, everything is speculation, right? It's sports radio. It's gossip. That's the first thing. The second thing is, and of course, they're never going to come out and say, I told him to do it. Like, they're never going to say that. Vrabel probably had him on a short leash. Based off of what? Guys, Craig Aukerman has been bad for 5 years. We went over it yesterday. I heard today, you know, and we're going to get into Joe and some of Joe Rexroad's takes on all of this at some point here. But I heard Joe say this morning, like, well, Aukerman was good for the last 4 years, but this year he's been bad. And it's like, no, he was terrible, terrible. 2018, he was terrible. 2019, they actually, you know, they had some bad plays on special teams, but they also had some good plays. They blocked a couple of kicks that won them games, and I'll give them credit there. 2020, terrible. They lost the Colts game when they switched the punter to put Big Boy from FedEx off the truck into the end zone, and he shanked one Colts touchdown. He got blocked another one. And Floyd said before the show, don't switch the punter. Don't switch the punter. Told a story of how he almost punched out the assistant general manager in Detroit because he told him, don't switch the punter. And so, like, he was terrible in 2020. And in 2021, the Chester Rogers, you know, adventure. Which, I mean, you know, 2021, I think it's kind of passable. Kicker was a little bit of a problem at the very, very beginning of the year. But whatever. Last year was horrible. Last year was horrible. They hit a snapper in the neck, and it cost them a ball game. Horrible. And this year, I mean, you got a punt blocked at New Orleans that led to a New Orleans score. You lost the game by 1 point. That's a big deal. The Ravens game. You muffed a punt that gave the Ravens 3 free points, but I heard them, you know, everybody forgets, they allowed a 70-yard punt return for Devin Duvernay. Like, you lost by 8 points, and you just gifted them points on special teams. And when's the last time the Titans returned a kick for a touchdown? So, again, do not bring me the Pro Football Focus report that says that, oh, yeah, no, the special teams were good. Titan special teams freaking sucked. Now, Nick Folk has been able to kick, and I was wrong about that, but Nick Folk has been able to kick. Other than that, Titan special teams has been terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And this idea that it wasn't is ridiculous. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Ian, people are getting me worked up today.
Oh boy, what happened?
I'm just saying, some of the, you know, got the caller saying Rand did a good job this offseason. Again, you can say it's not fair to judge him off of this season. You can't say he did a good job. And then this was special teams were good and then this happened. Please give me a break. What planet do you guys live on? I don't understand. More of your phones. 615-737-1025, Stillman and Company here on 1025-1063 The Game. And of course, be sure to not miss tomorrow night's Smashville Live at Brewhouse 100 at 6 o'clock, where you can get pictures and autographs with Preds players Cody Glass and Colton Sissons. Smashville Live is brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company.
That decision, was that like something over time?
Or was that yeah, just, you know, Teron, just again, just trying to evaluate, you know, what we do, who we do it with. You know, I just felt like, you know, this was the timing, what was what it needed to be, and I felt like it was best for the team and for the players, especially going forward.
Best for the players because the last coach got the punter annihilated, so maybe it'll be good for the new punter, whoever that may end up being, that maybe they'll be able to protect him one way or another. And I love, you know, again, the idea of, well, was this his fault? Was this not his fault? Is this Aukerman's fault? Is this? And today, even Robbie at one point cut Joe off and was like, well, isn't that the coach's job to get the players to do that stuff? And I did laugh out loud on that. One texter into the text line was talking about, one texter actually says, I thought you didn't listen to the morning show. I said, on Mondays after Titans games, I don't listen to the morning show. Every other day, I listen religiously to the morning show. And if you listen to the morning show, you know that because they're like, Jared just texted me and said. But I just wanted to get that point across one way or another. This one texter into the text line says, the unprofessionalism in the Nashville media is really off-putting. All you do is state opinions with no facts. At least TD talked to Rand and Vrabel. Ever thought of just asking Vrabel if he fired him or Amy did? Also, Vrabel never traded away a captain before midseason or cut a starter for fighting in practice, which I had to think, who was he talking about? Jamarco Jones does not count as a starter. In fact, even at that point, Jamarco Jones had been moved off the first team, but Jamarco Jones does not count as a starter. Or cut a starter for fighting in practice. He's only been a coach for 5 years. Did not know that the things that he did in the first years on the job, he will always need. I don't even know what this. Did not know that the things Will did in our first years on the job, we will always do need to let my boss know that. I don't know what that means. But the idea that it's the media's fault for anything is ridiculous on all of this. The Titans are incredibly non-transparent. And that's fine when you win. When you lose, people want an explanation. You know, Rand Carthon said to TD that it's not his time of the year to talk when it comes to press conferences and things like that. And I'm on Rand's side with that because I do think that there's probably an agreement in place with the collaboration between him and Vrabel that is, hey, man, during the season he talks, and then in the offseason, he talks. And that's kind of how they do it. But I think when Rand says, you know, it's not an ego thing for me, so I don't need to talk, this isn't about me, I think he's thinking it's like an ego thing, whereas the fans and people like me are thinking it's more of an accountability thing, right? It's like when you get up there next year and we ask you about Andre Dillard, who you're going to release, the Titans' way of doing things is going to be, well, you know, we thank Andre for everything he did, but we're not going to worry about last year. We're focused on this year. You know, I was thinking back about this with John Robinson. I don't know if you remember this, because the big takeaway from his pre-draft press conference 2 years ago was when I asked him in the press conference if he was going to trade A.J. Brown. And he said, I don't know if you remember this, Ian, he didn't foresee himself trading A.J. Brown, which, as Maury Povich has analyzed, the lie detector test determined that was a lie. But I kept asking him about the 2019 draft class to the point that he was like, dang, Jared, why do you keep asking me about the 2019 draft class? And I'm like, because it was really good. And if I owned the team, what I would be doing as owner is I would be trying to figure out what it is that we as an operation did so well in 2019 that landed us Jeffrey Simmons, A.J. Brown, Nate Davis, Amani Hooker, David Long Jr. Like, what happened in that draft that we didn't do well in the COVID drafts that now that we're out of the COVID drafts, we need to get back to doing? What is it that happened there? Because clearly we hit it out of the park before COVID. Why? And Robinson was just like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, just brushed it off because he didn't want to answer in a press conference because he never answers anything anyways. And so he was just kind of, oh, no, you know. But like, no, like that's a big deal to me. And it should be a big deal to you, but the Titans don't talk. So what do you – oh, yeah. And another thing, too, going back to the unprofessionalism of the media, talking about opinion shows having opinions, it's like, why don't you ask Mike that? I asked John if they were going to trade A.J. Brown. He said he didn't foresee it. So – I'm supposed to trust these guys. They said they were going to keep Mike Mularkey as the coach, and then they fired him. Ridiculous. David in Arkansas says, not sure how anyone can say special teams was good other than those two blocked field goals for a touchdown a few years ago. It was only one. The second one was a block against Kansas City that wasn't returned for a touchdown, but it just kept Kansas City from winning the game, which is equally as important. Can't think of any good. The Colts had more block punts in one game than they have had in the last 5 years, I'm guessing. Kaharski has it. The Titans haven't blocked a punt since 2012. Indianapolis, in the last 4 years, has two block punts for touchdowns against you at home. In the last 4 years. You have not blocked a punt in over a decade. Yeah. Special teams was good. Tell that to Pro Football Focus. Texter says, I can totally see Vrabel firing Aukerman for not practicing a backup holder for Folk that they could be confident with. So he's going to fire Aukerman for that, but he's not going to fire him for what happened in London on the punt return? Come on now. One texter says, Vrabel's biggest flaw is that he is stubborn to admit that he made a bad hire and let them go. Letting Schwartz out of the building was a travesty. Now, those are two separate things. But I hear what you're saying, and I think, you know, it's going to be hard for me to empathize with Vrabel on the coaching staff because I think he makes so many bad decisions with it. But the one thing that I am going to say is, like, when I ask him in a public setting at the press conference about whether or not he's going to fire a coach, unless he's going to fire a coach that day, the answer is going to be no. And so even if he's thinking about firing a coach, but he's not going to fire a coach, then it's almost like he has to back the coaches at that point in time. Where it's really dicey is when he promotes, you know, Jason Houdeling to the offensive line coach position, and there's not any real resume there, so we just have to take him for his word. And I think it's getting harder and harder to do that. Michael's up next on special teams. Sorry about keeping you waiting so long. What's up, Michael?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I don't understand where this whole, like, 9 best special teams in the league, how that's evaluated or contemplated with, because, like, I can see with my eyes every time that they go out there that they're just not that good, other than 3 guys. You got Nick Folk, who has been good since before he was on this special teams unit, Ryan Stonehouse, who was pretty good this whole year up until he got killed, and then Morgan Cox, who is a 5-time Pro Bowler, but, I mean, he's a long snapper. I don't know how much the coaching has to deal with that. So to say that we have a good special teams unit, I don't understand how anyone could ever come to that conclusion if you watch a single Titans game outside of those 3 guys carrying the load, and that's the only thing that I can think of where it's like, oh, yeah, those 3 guys make up the majority of that PFF ranking of being the 9th best up until obviously yesterday when it just – I wouldn't be surprised if we were dead last after 1 game.
I mean, I don't think that the Titans special team is good. Thank you, Michael. You don't think the Titans special team is good? They don't think it's good. They just fired the special teams coach. They don't think it's good. So don't try to tell me. I did hear this. Some texter texted in and said that Willie apparently was like really defending the special teams unit yesterday and bringing up stats and everything else. And it's like, Willie, they don't even think. And again, I didn't hear Willie say this, and I love Willie, but they don't even think that their special teams is good because they just fired the coach. Texter says, quick question on your listening to Robbie and Joe. What do you do, wake up and listen to the show, like go get in the car and chill in the driveway? So, I mean, do I have to explain how I listen to or watch the Robbie and Retro program, Ian?
I'm sorry?
Do I have to explain to everybody how I watch or listen to the Robbie and Rex Road program? I wake up in the morning.
I don't think so.
I wake up in the morning. I put it on the TV because it's on YouTube. So I pull up the YouTube app and then I just click on Robbie and Rex Road.
Do some working out.
And then I do that. I work out. Sometimes, you know, I will be outside working out. I'll be at the gym. I've got, you know, my headphones on. The other day when Karski said sharded, I was at the gym and I had my headphones on and I laughed out loud and people turned around and looked at me like, what are you laughing about?
I usually do the 6 a.m. hour in the kitchen while I get the kiddos ready for school.
I usually don't make it for the 6 a.m. hour.
Yeah, I do the early hour usually.
Yeah, I'm more towards the later part of it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get back to the Titans. We will get back to the special teams. We'll get back to Robbie and Joe and what they said about those special teams. But first, we haven't talked about the college football playoff yet. And not only is what happened a travesty, but the way you people, and I'm not saying everybody, but most people, have been talking about it is a travesty. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.